I don't have a whole lot of scripture. Normally, I've got 20 scriptures that I jump you around through and everything. You'll turn to Matthew, the 8th chapter. We're going to read the 18th through the 27th verses. Matthew 8, 18 through 27. Everybody there? Matthew 8, 18 through 27. Are we ready? And when Jesus saw the great multitude about him, he gave the command to depart to the other side. Then a certain scribe came and said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds have the nest, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head." Then another of his disciples said to him, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their dead." Now when he had got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the seas, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, "Who can this man be that even the wind and the waves obey him?" If you'll turn to chapter 14, Matthew, we're going to read the 22nd through the 32nd verses. Everybody there? 14, 22 through 32. It says, "Immediately Jesus made his disciples set into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It's a ghost,' and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the wave.' And so he said, 'Come.' And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to Jesus, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and he began to sink, and he cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, and he caught him and said to him, 'O you of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased." Can you see what the overlying part of both of these scriptures are? Can you see what we find here? We find here doubt. We find here a time when Jesus had already told them in the first reading in chapter 8, Jesus told them to get into the boat and go to the other side. But when the waves started coming up big on them, they forgot what he had told them. He said, "Go to the other side," which means they were going to get there regardless of what the waves and the water did. Now, these men were seasoned sailors. Peter was a seasoned sailor. He was a rough man. He, contrary to the picture we kind of paint of Peter being so pious and being so, he wasn't. He, before Jesus came along, he was a drinker. He was a sailor. Everybody knows what a sailor is supposed to be like. Well, he was a sailor. He was hard. So was his brother. They'd been working the sea for a long time. It took a lot for the sea to scare them. So this storm that came upon the boat that was filling the boat with water was something that just, it purely terrified them. And their faith waned. Their faith dropped. Their trust in what Jesus had told them fell. In the 14th chapter, Peter's told, "Come." And he gets out and he walks on the water. He walks on the way. The wind was boisterous and the sea was coming up. Jesus said, "Come." And Peter had the faith to get out of the boat. And as soon as he saw the waves and how big they were and the wind blowing against, then his faith waned and it went down. And this doubt came into him and he lost his faith. These men lost their faith. They lost their trust in the Word of God and what Jesus Christ was telling them. Now they had been with Jesus for a good while now. Everything he had told them had come to pass. But they doubted. Their faith fell. How many times in our lives has things come against us and we forget what the Word of God has told us and what Jesus has taught us and our faith falls? And we allow Satan to slip that foot in the door, that foot of doubt in there. And then we start questioning our faith. Jesus has told us that, you know, we should just... Bill left us with a message this morning. He left us with the words, "Follow me." Well, Jesus said two other words that are just as great, and that's "just believe." Just believe. Jesus has told us to believe, but Satan has put his foot in the door, and he loves it when he can get you to question your own faith and start worrying about or wondering about the things that you've been taught and the things that you've been fed on, and all of a sudden now that fear is there, that doubt is there. Why? Because the world has come against us in a way that maybe we didn't expect. Maybe it's come against us in a way that, you know, that we've never had to contend with before. It's something totally new. There's nothing new in creation. It continues over and over. But Satan, he uses different ways to use that same tool, see? You know, you can have a pair of pliers. And a pair of pliers can be used to hold something. Or a pair of pliers can be used kind of like a wrench. And can be tools can be used in different ways. And Satan uses his tools in different ways. How many of you raise your hand? How many of you know somebody that has at some time or another lost their faith? We all have. How many of you is willing to admit at times, I've lost my faith? At times things have come against me and you know, and maybe I haven't lost it, but whew, it's not as strong as I've always believed it to be. Turn to the 17th chapter of Matthew. We're going to read the 14th through the 20th verses. Everybody there? And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him, saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffering severely. He often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately, and they said, Why could we not cast it out? And Jesus said to them, Because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, Move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you or for you, depending upon how you want to read it. When we keep our faith in Him strong, when we hold on to the words that He gives us, when we hold on to His promises and take them to heart and put them in our heart and keep them there and realize that His Word is true, our faith does not wane. Our faith does not shrivel down. When we take His Word and we believe what it says and know that it's true, our faith continues to grow. Then nothing that the world can bring against us or that Satan can bring against us can have any power. Because Satan's only power is the power I give him. He only has the power over you when you allow Him to have that power. And Jesus Christ has already told you that you have power over Him. Luke 10:19, Jesus says, I give you power over all, that little word again, all the power of the enemy. I love that little word. I love that word. See, He's already given me the power to defeat a defeated foe. How about that? I can whoop up on the one that He's going to whoop. That He's already whooped. It's just Satan's stubborn. He don't want to give up, you know. He's going to take a lot of people to hell. He's going to take a lot of people to hell because the world today is, you know, they're searching for something. The answer's here. I mean, the answer's right here. It's just this simple. Here's the answer, but they're searching all over the place in different places, and they're existentialism. How you like that word? Don't pat me too much on the shoulder. I got to look it up in the dictionary, find out what it means. Existentialism. Objectivism. There's a whole bunch of isms out there today. All these philosophies and theologies that are totally and completely philosophies of I. Of me. Instead of Him. It's all about Him. It's not about me. It's about how I can live following His footsteps. How I can live following His words and following the teachings that He has given me and the strength He has given me to do it, because He left His Holy Spirit here to dwell within me, to give me that strength so that I can take that one step at a time. Sometimes it's a slow walk, but you take that one step at a time. You keep going forward because your faith keeps building and growing when you have the Word of God inside you and you have the promises of Jesus Christ there. It's that simple. He didn't make it hard. As we used to say, speak it, believe it, receive it. That's how easy Jesus made it for you. If you believe what He says, nothing shall be impossible to you or for you. He just said so. But why don't we do that? Why can't I tell that mountain, go jump in the ocean? Go jump in the ocean. Why? Because I've been brought up in a materialistic world and I bought into a whole bunch of the garbage. And not all of it's out of me yet. But see, I'm not perfect. But I'm being perfected. I'm being perfected. Jesus Christ is perfecting me. The Holy Spirit is perfecting me. He's washed my sins away. And when I stand before the Father, I stand there white as snow. I like to say, you know, God gets Alzheimer's at that time when I get up there. And he says, what was I trying to remember about him? Daggone it. But he gets, and it's all put away. It's all gone. It doesn't exist anymore. It's like it never happened. I can still remember it. And you know, sometimes when we remember our past, sometimes it's hard to forgive ourselves. Sometimes it's hard to forgive ourselves for things we've done. Because we've all done things that, you know, we're not on the up and up. Bill did a couple of them. But that's all forgot about now. I'm going to tell you what. We've all done things. I've done things that I'm ashamed of in my life. I've done things that I wish I hadn't done. But they're all behind me. And I don't let them burden me anymore. They used to burden me. They used to bother me. Because I was too hard on myself. I didn't want to forgive myself. I can forgive other people. Somebody do something to me and I could forgive that. But I couldn't forgive what I did to myself. Jesus said, you got to forgive yourself. You have to forgive yourself. If you don't forgive yourself, you can't truly forgive someone else. And if you can't truly forgive someone else, you cannot go to heaven. It's that simple. God the Father cannot forgive you if you can't forgive. Says so. His words, not mine. Turn to chapter 21. Chapter 21, verse 22. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing. Let me read that again so you got that. Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing. I'm going to do it one more time. Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. You will receive. Promises. Promises that Jesus has made that if we keep in our hearts are ours. Promises that He has made in healing. From Genesis to Revelation, God tells us He is a healing God. Says He'll heal our nation. He'll heal our bodies. He'll heal our finances. He'll heal a broken heart. It says He will heal a broken heart. From Genesis to Revelation. How about this? How about when Jesus healed by faith? All the healings, if you look where Jesus healed, what does He say? He says it's by your faith. As you have believed. According to your belief. What's this all saying? It's all by the faith that they had in Jesus Christ. They heard that He was doing these things and they came and they believed He could do them. Before they ever got there, they believed He could take care of this. The woman that bled for 12 years never saw Him, but she said, if I can just touch the hem of His garment, I know I'll be healed. Faith. Faith. How about this? The paralyzed man. Okay, how about the rule, the temple ruler's daughter, huh? How about her? How about the two blind men? How about the dumb man He made speak? Here's a man was 40 years old, never spoke a word. Says, you're healed. The man wouldn't shut up. Jesus told him, says, now don't tell nobody how you got healed or where this come from. He's out there and he's all over Jerusalem telling everybody. Dumb man couldn't speak. Sometimes my wife wishes I was dumb and couldn't speak. I mean, huh?
Don't feel like the Lone Ranger.
I tell you, about the man with the withered hand. And they're trying to catch him doing something on the Sabbath. He says, is it a sin to heal on the Sabbath? He says, your hand, let me see your hand. Here, looky there, man, it's all good. And they couldn't believe it. Let's see, this is the one I love the best. I love this one better than the centurion and his servant. I love this. Here's the guy. This man is a Roman general. He got legions of army out there. He come from Rome where they worship 97 different gods. I mean, you know, they got a god. In Capernaum, they even had a god to, a temple to the unknown god. Now, that's going some, you know. But here's a man who worshiped many. As a general, his chief god was Mars. He was the god of war. God of pestilence also. But here's a man that he heard about Jesus. And it played on his heart. He heard about him and it played on his heart. His servant was extremely sick and was literally dying. Now, rather than just tell a couple of his captains or sergeants, hey, go bring this fellow Jesus here to me. No, he says, I'm going to go. And he went to him himself in person. And he said, Rabbi, he said, my servant is deathly sick. Jesus says, okay, come on. He says, let's go heal him. He says, no, look here. He says, I'm a man of importance. I tell people come and they come. I tell people go and they go. He says, if you just say the word, I know he'll be healed. Coming from a Roman general in Jerusalem, and Jesus said, in all of Judea, in all of Jerusalem, in all of Israel, in other words, all over where he had been, he has never found such faith. He had never found such faith. They just say the word, and it's done. Well, let me ask you a question tonight. How many of you believe that Jesus can still just say the word and it's done? Then why don't you say it? When the world comes against you, and just like Bill said this morning, man, Satan will come on you big time. He'll jump on you with both feet with hobnail boots. I mean, he'll come on you swinging and everything else. Don't let him. Don't let him. Just believe. That's what Jesus said. If you have, he taught us if we have the faith of a mustard seed, and everybody thinks a mustard seed's a little old tiny seed like a sesame seed you get on top of your hamburger bun, but it ain't. A mustard seed over there is about the size of your little fingernail. That's about the size of the mustard seed, but it's still one of the smallest seeds that they plant. But from it, they get the biggest bush because they get like a big old tree and the birds nest in it and all that stuff. Well, if you have that much faith, just that much faith, you move mountains. If you have that much faith, without doubt, you move mountains. And we've moved mountains. We've been praying for that projector for how long? We got it. It's ours. Why? Because he made the promise. He said, I'll do it. He said, wait, it'll come. We're going to own that building over there. It's going to be ours. Why? Because we are praying in unison, in agreement, that is going to be our building, and we're going to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ all over this county and all over western Pennsylvania. We're going to do that from Faith to Faith Ministries. It's going to be ours. Why? Because he said so. He said so. It's going to be ours. whatever you pray for, believe. Believe that it's yours, and it will be. Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, my Father will do. He said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do. You have the promise that both of them are going to jump right in there and take care of it for you if you just give them the chance. Don't put on pride. Don't put on arrogance. I can take care of this my own self. I don't need no help. Woo! Man, I tell you what. I can take care of this my own self. I have screwed up more stuff by my own self than you would ever believe. I'm telling you right now. But when I keep Jesus part of that equation, when I keep Him part of the equation, I'm going to tell you right now, things go so much easier. You know, when I get ready to do a job and I say, Jesus, I need some help with this. I don't care if it's plumbing or not, because He's a plumber too, you know. He was a carpenter, but He's a plumber, and He's an electrician, and He does drywall, and whatever needs to be done, when you keep Him with you and you ask Him to help you, it goes so much easier. And you know, when I'm building something, because I like to do woodworking, and I like to build stuff, and you know, little cabinets and stuff like that, and dry sinks and things. And when I keep Him there, it turns out better than what I was hoping for. But when I don't keep Him in the equation, I make 27 extra cuts till I get it to where I wanted it. And that 27th cut was after I said, Jesus, please help me cut this right this time. And then it happens. See? Keeping Him in your heart, keeping His Word in your heart, is going to keep you from being overcome by the world. It's going to keep you from being overcome by Satan. It's up to you. It's up to you. You've got the choice. You can believe this right here, or you can believe the world. If you believe in the world, let me know how that's doing for you. Because when I was in the world, it sure didn't do a whole lot for me. When I was in the world, it caused me to be a drunkard, drug addict. I run around on my first wife, wound up with a divorce. The world didn't do a whole lot. I was not real successful in the world. But since Jesus Christ came into my life, and I took Him into my heart to be my Lord and Savior, and I feed on His Word, I'm a success in everything. In everything. Because I speak it, I believe it, and I receive it. It's yours too. Would you bow your head? Lord Father God, thank You for this message. I pray, Father, that it strengthens their hearts, that now, Father, when the world or Satan tries to come against them, they have the tools to say, look, Satan, get out of here, because I ain't putting up with you. Father, I'm just praying right now. They take this word and they take it out and they share it. They give it away to somebody that needs it out there. Every day we've run into somebody or we know of somebody that needs Your word. And I pray, Father, right now that they deliver that word. We thank You for it. We give You the praise and glory now and forever. In Jesus' name.